If last week was like the Ohio Turnpike, this week was a drive in the Talladega 500, aside from a few right turns, and we had the big one. Good evening and welcome to the Sunday presentation of WLEW Sports. You're listening to The Baseline on Sports Radio 102.1. I'm Clark Ramsey, your host for The Baseline, and tonight's topic, as always the case, is high school basketball. Join me in studio tonight is the one and only John Mooney.
Clark, great week of high school hoops during the last 7 days. I'm just glad to be here to throw in my two cents.
And like a bad penny, he's back yet again as the sports editor of the Huron Daily Tribune, the hero of the hardwood, Paul P. Adams.
Hey, good to be here again. We had a great week last week. We talked about it, and now we've got another awesome week of hoops ahead to look forward to.
We're into the thick of divisional play across the Greater Thumb Conference, and we were treated to some great games in the Thumb of Michigan.
None probably bigger and more surprising than Bad Axe beating Reese, and that turned out to be a very significant game that we're going to talk about later. The Hatchets are for real, folks.
Hey, Sandusky has made a statement. They want to be in the story also, and so in the Wild East, I guess we can call it, because everything's Wild West, right? Well, Sandusky is making some noise because there's also Harbor Beach that won last week, and it's just setting up a showdown.
Tonight's edition of The Baseline is being presented on WLEW Sports, My Thumb Sailor on the 4G LT Network, The Talk of the Thumb, and Active Physical Therapy in Sports Medicine. When we return, we'll break down our WLEW Sports game of the week back on Monday from the NCTL, CPS at Caseville, and a whole lot more. Hang on to your seat, folks, because whatever you do, don't give up The Baseline.
Times are tough. Sometimes it's hard to earn even a buck.
Hey, mister, you want to buy some lemonade?
Scram! Nice try, kid. If it's that hard to make a quick buck, how hard must it be to make a quick 50 bucks?
All right, we're going to infiltrate here, here, and here, and the diamond will be ours.
Or maybe...
So you're sure you want to sell your kidneys?
Absolutely.
All right.
Or you could simply refer a friend to Thumb Cellular. That's right, at Thumb Cellular, it pays to refer a friend. When your friend switches to Thumb Cellular, you'll earn $50 off your next bill, and your friend will get $50 off too. That's $50 for you and $50 for a friend you refer to Thumb Cellular. See Thumb Cellular's offices in Bad Axe, Caro, Pigeon, or Sandusky for details. Terms of service apply. That's Thumb Cellular, the talk of the thumb.
You love Thumb Cellular!
When it comes to your body's aches and pains, only one thing truly matters: feeling better. But it comes down to three things to make that happen. Of course, quality care you can trust, timely service, and convenient hours. That's the difference with Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine of Bad Axe. Whether the injury is sports-related or age-related, the licensed professionals at Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine can get you back to a life that the only thing you can complain about is this weather. Call Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine today at 269-2700. That's 989-269-2700. WLEW Sports is proud to present The Baseline, all things high school basketball, every Sunday at 7 p.m. throughout the entire season on Sports Radio 102.1. Before we forget, though, we will not be broadcasting next weekend The Baseline in anticipation of the big one. All inflation and all, or I should say deflation of the big game next week between the Patriots, except the New England Patriots and the Seattle Seahawks. We will not be broadcasting The Baseline next weekend. We will join you back the following weekend. That would be somewhere around February 8th, I do believe we'll be back on air with The Baseline. Clark Ramsey, John Mooney, and Paul P. Adams.
And do you know what also returns that same day that we come back? The Walking Dead on AMC.
I'll take your word for it. Let's take a look. It's been a busy week in high school basketball across the Thumb of Michigan. Starting all the way back on Monday, the 19th. Think back, folks, when your bank accounts were still full after your quick payday on the week before. Mayville was at North Huron, and North Huron took care of the former GTC Eastians 60-44. Our game of the week on WLW Sports: Carsonville, Port Sanilac at Caseville, CPS over Caseville, 58-40 in NCTL action. And Peck was at Deckerville, and they took out Deckerville 45-30. Memphis was at Macomb Lutheran North, and that's where the good stuff ended. It was Macomb Luther North 81, Memphis 41. That was on Tuesday. Wednesday action, Harbor Beach hosted Brown City, a game John and I both attended just as attendees. It was kind of weird for a second there. Harbor Beach hung on to a one-point victory, 61-60 in Greer's Thumb East action. Sandusky hosted Ubley. Sandusky with a victory, 57-44. Reese was at Bad Axe, and Bad Axe pulls the upset, if you want to call it that, even though I don't think we can even say it's upset anymore. Bad Axe 67, Reese 54. Cass City hosted Lakers. Cass City on the winning end of things, 47-42 over the green and white. USA was at Vassar, and USA squeaks out a two-point victory on the road, 53-51. North Huron at Bay City All Saints. The All Saints with 55, North Huron 48, and Owen Gage was at Caseville. The Bulldogs with 51, Caseville with 34. In Friday action, Harbor Beach was at Ubley, and Harbor Beach pulled out in the second half over Ubley, 54-46. Brown City at Memphis, 59-37, big were the Green Devils. Marlette at Sandusky, and the Redskins of Sandusky take out Marlette, 52-45, to put themselves in the front runners of the East over Marlette. Bad Axe was at Lakers, and it was Bad Axe big in the second half, 67 for the Hatchets, 34 for the Lakers. All Saints above Bay City at Cass City, and Cass City victorious twice in 1 week, 57-38. Reese at USA, a game I attended on Friday, Reese 59, USA 56. Peck was at North Huron, 64-46, Peck over North Huron. Deckerville was at Mayville. Deckerville Eagles 57, Mayville 30. And on Saturday action, CPS traveled up to Augre Sims, and it was Augre Sims 54, CBS 32, a busy week on the hardwood.
Conference championships are starting to come into focus a little bit. There's still a lot to be decided. There's a lot of really good basketball played last week and a lot more on tap this week.
Give it two more weeks, and we're going to know exactly what's going to be happening in both East and West in the GTC. And I'll, as far as the NCTL, we've got a pretty good idea who is shaping up for a showdown not too long from now.
Yeah, Kingston and Peck, no doubt about that. They have separated themselves from the pack. There's some really good basketball being played in the middle of the NCTL, though, between North Huron and Deckerville and Mayville and those likes. But clearly, Peck and Kingston are the tops in that league.
That's going to be a heck of a game, too, when it, down the road. Peck is going to be traveling to Kingston.
If you remember, way early at the beginning of the season, the first game of the season, Bad Axe just pulled out a game against Kingston, and at the time, we didn't think much about that. But now, as you look back, you're thinking, Kingston's a pretty darn good team.
That's a good point, because when I first heard the score as far as Bad Axe over Kingston, I thought, well, okay, they did it last year. It was a close game. And, Bad Axe was struggling last year, and I kind of thought, well, where was Kingston? They also ran to Peck, and so I thought, okay, that kind of adds up. But as the season progressed, you're right. This is looking like that. It was quite a statement for Bad Axe to get out of the gate real fast against a really good team down in Kingston. Cardinals are for real.
Well, the lower portion of the NCTL, we had two squads face off last Monday, CPS and Caseville. WLEW Sports was there for it. And CPS came out firing over Caseville after the first quarter. It was 8-5. Caseville was held to only two field goals in that first quarter. In the second quarter, it was all Wyatt Hooper for CPS. He dropped 11 points in that quarter alone to make it 30-16 at halftime. In the third quarter, watch out, watch the Eagles soar as Caseville outscored CPS 18-16. And at one point, Caseville was within 2 points, but then CPS started to pull away into that third quarter. Six different players scored for Caseville in the third. It was 46-34 entering the fourth. And the fourth, CPS started to pull away with Aaron Smith scoring 6 in the fourth, and they outscored Caseville as a team 12-6. Final score 58-40.
There's three things that I remember really distinctly about that game, and that was that Caseville had a lead.
They did.
They had a lead and everything. But, they printed a little bit. But there was one player that I thought really stood out for Caseville in the first half, and that was Mason Kozefka. He took, inside the arc, he took 6 shots and hit 5 of them.
That's a good percentage.
But, on the other hand, you have Wyatt Hooper playing for the CPS Tigers. He took 7 shots and hit 6. So, you got to take the medicine. That was the second thing. But the third thing, though, was in the second half. There was a 14-point lead, if I'm not mistaken. And it looked like CPS just going to run away with it, no questions asked. And then all of a sudden, the doors came open for the second half, and the Eagles just came out there, and they started flying. And they got it, like you said, within 2 points. And that's when the Tiger coach, he went ahead and called the timeout. And I think, I swear, if I was the Caseville coach, which I'm not, he does a good enough job without my help, I think I would have told the kids, don't come up in the huddle. Stay out there. Start slapping each other in the face or something. You know, get mad. Get him after it, you know. But it just seemed like the everything deflated. Oh, that's a bad pun.
Oh, boy. I thought we were going to mention that on air. But regardless, CPS pulled out with it 58-40 over Caseville. Aaron Smith with 17 points off of 7 field goals and 3 for 4 from the free throw line. Led the way, Hooper had 15 points and Cooney with 11 points. For Caseville, Mason Kazepka with 14 points, Falkenberg with 8, and Filling with 6. CPS falls to 1-2-6 on the season, and they have since lost 2 games this past week. And Caseville now sits at 0-7 on that 7-game losing streak. This week, CPS is against Mayville at home and at Deckerville on the 3rd of February. That's right around the corner. That is on Friday, I believe. And Caseville this week is at Peck and then versus North Huron. Here's what CPS's head coach had to say after the victory over Caseville on Monday.
Tide was turning there, and I'm real proud of our guys there. They stayed resilient, and they listened, and, you know, we were able to weather it, and, yeah, that was huge. Oh, yeah, you know, I mean, going into any gym, it's tough, you know. I mean, it's the baskets are different, the rims are different, you know, and it's the other team is comfortable and more confident, and it's tough to go into any gym and get a win, so we're happy. They're about the same physically, and they really like each other. You see them high-fiving each other, and they kind of feed off each other, and they made us go tonight. You know, they took care of the ball and attacked the rim and showed some discipline. You know, Tony's only a sophomore and hasn't played a whole lot of varsity basketball, so he's a kid that we really look to in the future. We had just a great amount of effort tonight, and we've been trying to put 32 minutes together all season, and to do that, we're trying to find an identity as well, and so I thought defensively with our man-to-man tonight, the first time all year we've been able to play it the entire game without having to switch out of it into a zone because things weren't working. So guys are starting to learn that intensity and that focus. And, yeah, Friday doesn't get any easier going to Kingston. You know, they're a tremendous team, and what a great win they had against Peck on Saturday.
CPS, oh, that didn't work at all. I was heading in helium blues laying around all week. CPS 58, Caseville 40. It was a good game for CPS, except they followed it up with their next game. They did not bode well for the rest of the week there. On Friday, they were at, or Saturday at Augre Sims. They got blown out there, and when was another game there, John?
Well, they played Friday, didn't they?
Looking like a bunch of amateurs here. Anyway, let's move on. It's time for a commercial break, folks. We are this close to ending the polio disease forever, and now is our chance to change the world to make sure no child is disabled by polio ever again. Join in, speak out, be a part of history, and be a part of Rotary. Join your local Rotary Club in Sebring, Pigeon, Bad Axe, Sandusky, or Harbor Beach. Check out Rotary.org to see how you get involved today.
We are this close.
We're this close.
We are this close.
Of all my duty
to making history.
This close to changing the world.
We are this close.
This close.
This close to making sure no child suffers a crippling disease.
Ever again.
This close.
We are this close to ending polio.
To ending polio.
All we need is you. Is you.
This close. If we donate now, we may lose this chance forever. Help Rotary make history at endpolionow.org.
I'd like you to meet Joe.
Hello.
What's your last name? Schmoe. Where did you come from?
Off the street.
So you're Joe Schmoe off the street, of course. You seem to be getting around a lot better these days, though. Oh, I know. You went to active physical therapy and sports medicine, didn't you? Well, it makes sense. Active physical therapy and sports medicine can get any type of person back on their feet, whether it's an athlete or Joe Schmoe off the street. Call Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine today at 269-2700. They're located in downtown Bad Axe with convenient hours just off the street. That's 269-2700. Join the conversation with WLEW Sports on Twitter. Simply search for at WLEW Sports on Twitter and click the follow button to receive in-game updates, stats, and even photos from the game, or like WLEW Sports on Facebook. Just search for WLEW Sports and click the like button for in-game updates, stats, and photos from the game. One interesting game that took place on Wednesday in GTC action, especially in the Wild Wild West, was the Bad Axe Hatchets hosting the Reese Rockets. And final score from that one, Bad Axe pulls out a 13-point victory over Reese, 67-54. Let's tell you how he got there. Bad Axe was lead by two, was entering the court into the second quarter, 15-13. At halftime, Bad Axe extended that lead to four, 35-31. Bad Axe was never outscored in this game. They scored 12-9 in the third quarter, 47-40 entering the fourth quarter. In that fourth, Bad Axe outscored Reese 20-14 for a final score of 67-54, led by the Hatchet's own Tom Morneau with 26 points off of 8 field goals in 1-3, and he was 7-7 from the free throw line.
Last week on this program, the last we saw the Hatchets, they had let a game get away on Friday against Saginaw Nouvelle in overtime, and I said here that was going to be the test for Bad Axe, how they bounced back. They could go one of two ways. They could lose their confidence, or they could make a statement. Bad Axe made a statement in this game. This was a Reese team that was coming off a win over Vassar. I think came in as the favorite against Bad Axe. Bad Axe played a very good game here and showed it is a legitimate contender in the West. And when you look at the scoring, yes, Tommy Morneau had 26. He's a great player. But I like the 14 out of Krug and the 12 out of Messing and the 8 out of the other Messing. That's the type of balance that you got to see out of Bad Axe in order to win these games. Very, very good bounce back win, and they went and followed that up with another impressive win against their rival, the Lakers, on Friday.
Reese is so formidable, but I'll tell you what, the best compliment I can give to the Hatchets is simply this: that was no upset. That was their floor, that was their turf. They protected it, and they're showing that they are, one of the teams of this particular year. So, by golly, keep watching the Hatchets.
It's going to be interesting, to say the least, as it continues down the streak here. Bad Axe at 7-3 on the season, on a two-game win streak after beating Lakers on Friday, 67-34. Reese is at 6-4 after beating USA on Friday, 59-56. But what's most intriguing about all of this in the Wild Wild West, sitting at the top of all the standings, that is not a typo in the Huron Daily Tribune. Bad Axe at 3-0 alone in the Greater Thumb West, USA at one with one loss, as well as Reese at Cass City, and Vassar as seen in fifth place at the moment at 1-2.
How big does Friday's game with USA look right now when USA comes into Bad Axe on Friday? That is, to me, possibly the biggest game that we have of the week as far as a conference game goes.
Hold on your hat. That's all I can say. That particular game could be a track meet, and it's going to be a fun one to watch. I would get there early and camp out maybe. This is going to be one heck of a game.
Not to mention, Bad Axe has won six of their last seven games. Their only game they did drop was in a loss in overtime to Saginaw Nouvelle, a game in which most agree they should have won. Bad Axe is the only unbeaten team in the West. Let's take a look at another game that went on Wednesday. Harbor Beach and Brown City in the East. It was mostly Harbor Beach through three quarters of the game, but all of a sudden Brown City got hot. John Mooney, you said it at halftime to me. You said, watch out for Brown City in the second half, as their shooting percentages basically went inverted. And it was all Brown City in that fourth quarter, and Harbor Beach hung on to a one-point victory, 61-60. Josh Elgi had 28 points off of 8 field goals and 2 threes and 6-9 from the free throw line. But one thing that did happen for Harbor Beach, Austin Seltz left the game in the first quarter with an injury after hitting the three. That's all the production they would get out of Harbor Beach, and Austin Seltz is going to be out for an undetermined amount of time for the Pirates, making an even shorter bench for the Orange and Black.
Brown City, what do you say about a team who shoots 37% on other people's floors? They are legitimate. It's a senior-related team. I saw them once over Deckerville. Deckerville had them at halftime. It was by some ungodly score. I can't remember what it was. But it seemed like, okay, Brown City, they're going to lose this one. And then all of a sudden, after halftime, I don't know what coach said, but they just came out and started firing like crazy. And I'm thinking, oh, my goodness. And they've been doing this all year. I think Ubley had a game with them at their place where the first half didn't go. And then all of a sudden, second half, they took off. So, we've seen them before. They're no secret. They're, like I said, a senior-led team, and they're led by Jeffrey Randolph, who, by the way, could probably shoot blindfolded better than most of us could that were trying. You not only have him, but you also have Austin Hoff. That he gets hot, that's two people that you just can't cover. You can't cover the entire floor. You got to give up something. And so that's a true advantage for the Green Devils.
Not to mention, another advantage for them is that barn they play in down in Brown City.
That's a snake pit is what it is.
Exactly. So they still have that going for them. One thing we haven't mentioned, they got a new coach this year, Anthony Troshak. If name sounds familiar, it is familiar. He was the coach at Caseville for a number of years, took a teaching position down in Brown City. So Brown City, luckily for them, they do have a senior-laden team, but they're adjusting to a new coach, and I think you're starting to see that as the season progresses and as they put together games like this that they very well could have won. But as they get used to that new coach, they're going to pull off one of these games, whether it be against a Sandusky or Marlette. They're gonna beat those teams as well.
Or Harbor Beach on their own court.
Or this rematch when they face Harbor Beach again later in the season.
Nobody should take the Green Devils lightly. Nobody. Especially going into the fourth quarter. I don't care if you're down by 20. You know, those people, they will play to the end.
But this was a good game. We're talking a lot about Brown City. But this is a good win, a gutty win for Harbor Beach, a win that they needed when you look at how things are shaping up in the East. And look at that stat line from Dalton Oakey again. 13 points, 12 rebounds, 8 blocks. We're starting to see this young man get more comfortable playing for Harbor Beach, learning his role, and his teammates are getting comfortable with him, and he's starting to turn in stat lines like that. That's going to be really, really important for Harbor Beach going
forward. The best thing about Dalton, he's staying on the floor in the first half. He's learned.
Yeah, he's seen out foul trouble, that's for certain. Well, another action on Wednesday. The Red Hawks of Kansas City jumped out to a 15-10 lead after the first quarter over Lakers and held that lead through the fourth. Mason Earl scored 20 points. Lakers, welcome back to Valentine, boys. Dakota Valentine led Lakers with 16 points in that matchup. Freshman Brendan Wisner with 8 and Cunningham with 7, but Kansas City strikes and for the first victory in a long time for them. Then they actually took out Bay City All Saints for their second victory in a week and only third of the season, in fact. Final score in that one on Friday was 57-38 after leading by 9 at halftime, 25-16. The All Saints were outflanked by Kansas City 22-32 in the second half. 3 Red Hawks in double digits, which is the only thing we always like to see. Cuthrell with 15 points, Ross with 14, and Mason Early with 12, another big man starting to develop in the West. Kansas City held BCAS leading scorer Justin Bates, who averages 24 points a game, to a season low of 11 points. Kansas City is off until Friday at home against Vassar. Talk about turning around a program right there. We knew they had it in them. They're on the short end of a straw for a long time. And here we are starting to see the fruition of the Kansas City Redhawks.
Oh, the talent's there. And what they need to do is win a couple of games. Remember what that feels like. Get a little momentum under their, going with them. And they're going to need all the momentum they can get going against Vassar on Friday. But there's talent on Kansas City. And they're very well capable of knocking off any of the contenders in the West.
That's one thing about momentum. You get it. You don't want to let it go because it is a very difficult thing to get. And right now, the Red Hawks are sounding more like the Red Hots. So let's give them all the kudos we can.
Then jumping back into the East, Sandusky pulls in within a half game behind Harbor Beach in the Greater Thumb East, both with 0 losses in their East standing. Sandusky made good on a 2-game homestand, going 2-0. They hosted Ubley on Wednesday, taking out the Bearcats 57-44, and then they followed that up on Friday with a 7-point victory over Marlette. This was the first week of divisional play for the Sandusky Ball Club, now at 2-0, and a half game behind Harbor Beach, who sits at 3-0. The two squads are to meet next Friday in Harbor Beach on February 6th, a game you'll hear on WLAW Sports. Marlette falls to 1-2 in divisional play, which is quite surprising, but they both lost to both Sandusky and Harbor Beach, and the Red Raiders of Marlette host Ubley on Friday. So we have the Wild Wild West. We have to come up with some name for the East, because it appears that nobody wants to be in first place in either division.
That's the question. Who wants to be the Beast of the East?
Exactly. I got news for you. The Greater Thumb East winner is not going to go undefeated. There's going to be 2 or 3 possible losses. Marlette still at 1-2, I think, is very much in this race. Brown City, I think, has thrust itself back. And I think we have a legitimate 4-team race in the East. In the West, I think it's down to 3 teams. The East, we have 4 teams, and it's going to be exciting every time one of those contenders meet up.
I think you're right. 2 losses, or at the most 3, will probably win it.
Look at those standings on both the East and the West. Harbor Reach is at 3-0. Sandusky is at 2-0. Brown City in third at 2-1. Then Marlette at 1-2. Ubley at 1-3. And Memphis at 0-3 in the East. I mean, it could be Harbor Reach still needs to travel to Brown City. Sandusky needs to take on Harbor Reach twice still. Marlette has played Harbor Reach, hosted Harbor Reach. Harbor Reach snuck one out there. That's a huge victory for the Pirates. And Ubley's going to surprise someone here.
I was just going to say, Clark, I saw Ubley really push Harbor Beach for about a quarter and a half on Friday, and a game we'll talk about a little bit later. And I think the Bearcats are fully capable of putting four quarters together like that, so they could take down one of those contenders. I think they might be a little far back, a little behind the gun to maybe win the East, but they could play a factor in who does win the East.
One interesting note, this is completely off topic. I meant to talk about this earlier. Friday's basketball games, only two home teams won. There were six losses for the home teams on Friday. Away teams won 6-2 on Friday.
You just don't see that. And I don't, you know, I've been saying this for years. I don't think home court in high school means nearly as much as it means in college or the pros. We just don't get the crowd and the crowd participation. It is nice to be on your home court, but I don't know if there's a huge advantage to being at home anymore as far as having a great crowd behind you.
I think the only advantage is you understand if the rims are tighter, if they're a little bit loose or so forth. Where the rebounds,
You don't have a cold bus ride, too.
And that is a huge factor, especially watching the Brown City boys as I was leaving the building at Harbor Beach. You know, they're getting on their bus and everything, and it was freezing. You knew that, well, maybe that's why they are a second-half team. takes them that long to warm up. So, yeah, there might be something to the home court advantage, but, Paul, I think you're right. Yeah, they should just, you know, throw out the basketballs, you know, let's suit up and let's just play, you know, and see what happens.
Well, you know me and my stats. What I love here is the home versus away through the season, NCTL in the Greater Thumb Conference. The home team has 59 victories. The away team has 50 victories. So +9 advantage for the home team. But look at this, the point spread. The home team, 48.7. The away team, 47.5. The average differential is seen at 1.2 points.
And it's supposed to be 10 points.
You're talking about the spread of the Pro Bowl. I don't even know what the score is of that. It might not be done yet. On your sports radio dial, 102.1, you're listening to The Baseline on WLEW Sports.
From the premier truck dealer in the Thumb, Graf Chevrolet Buick and Sandusky, here's Keith, Brandon, and Sam.
It's the end of January, and that only means one thing to us Chevy guys. The North American Auto Show is here, and with that comes huge savings on our pickups.
That's right, boss. If you qualify for GM employee pricing, you can save over $12,500 on select 2014 Silverado trucks.
Save over $12,500? Wow, that's incredible.
You've got that right, but time is running out. Our 2014 inventory is almost gone, so you better hurry in to save big. With a GM and package discount, trade allowance, and auto show bonus cash, the savings add up to over
$12,500. $12,500?
Yep, just another reason why Graf Chevrolet Buick and Sandusky is the premier truck dealer of the Thumb. Stop in and get your new Silverado today.
$12,500? Wow!
When it comes to your body's aches and pains, only one thing truly matters: feeling better. But it comes down to three things to make that happen. Of course, quality care you can trust, timely service, and convenient hours. That's the difference with active physical therapy and sports medicine of Bad Axe. Whether the injury is sports-related or age-related, the licensed professionals at active physical therapy and sports medicine can get you back to a life that the only thing you can complain about is this weather. Call Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine today at 269-2700. That's 989-269-2700. Whatever you do, don't give up the baseline on Sports Radio 102.1 with Clark Ramsey, John Mooney, and Paul P. Adams from the Huron Daily Tribune. We're now move on to Friday action in the Greater Thumb Conference in a game that I actually attended. And I'm glad I did. It was a great experience over in USA. It was a packed gym on both sides, and I sat in what you could say enemy territory. I was the row behind the Reese bench, and it was spectacular. Reese ended up pulling out the victory over USA, a thing that not many teams do in USA. They pulled out a victory 59-56, and it was back and forth all the way. USA was actually leading at halftime 29-27. They took early control of that game, mostly due to pressure on the Reese guards. For Reese in the second quarter, they had six different players score, and they outscored USA 13-12, but it was still USA by two at half, 29-27. In the third quarter, Reese applied the pressure back to USA, and they caused eight turnovers alone in that third, and they outscored USA 18-12 to take a four-point lead into the last 8 minutes. Reese in the fourth quarter had four transition buckets, but USA brought it back somehow within 2 points with 10 seconds left in that game. Before that happened, and a big hit to USA, Aaron Sines fouled out halfway through the fourth quarter, but Dominic Guardian stepped to the plate, and he scored 8 points in the fourth, but your final score was 59-56. Dominic Guardian had a shot with about 10 seconds left to tie it up. He missed that one. Final score, 59-56. Reese pulls out a victory at USA, led by Gallister with 14 points off of 6 field goals and 2 for 3 from the free throw line. Schrader with 13 points and 3 field goals and a 3. And Brechtelsbauer with 12 points off of 6 field goals, including a 2-hand slam in traffic.
Let me tell you, going into last week, if you'd have told Mark Gainforth and Steve Bone they were going to go 1-1, I think they would have taken it. They were on the road against Vassar, at home against Reese. They probably would have thought it would have went the other way around, a loss at Vassar. But any way you cut it, you'd probably take that. With a young team like USA has, this was a learning experience for them. They pulled out a narrow victory against Vassar on Wednesday, where they needed a 3 with less than 10 seconds to go in that game to win that game. So it's not the worst loss in the world. It was almost a must-win for Reese. If they would have went 0-2 last week, their Greater Thumb West chances are probably finished. So really good bounce back from them from recovering from what Baddox did to them on Wednesday. Good game all around. Like you said, Clark, off the air, place was packed, and that's good. We need to see that. USA, Reese, probably the best, one of the best rivalries in the Thumb, and it seemed like it was a rivalry renewed on Friday.
You know, you cannot simulate an atmosphere in districts in practice or anything like that. And I think that this game, whether you win or lose, it really set the stage for what's going to happen in a few more weeks down the road during March Madness.
It was a packed house, and hats off to both student sections from Reese and USA. It was toga night for USA student section, and apparently they're looking for a downpour from Reese. Everyone showed up in rain gear. I'm not quite sure how that pertains to anything, but we saw a lot of rain gear, a lot of ponchos, a few umbrellas, everything from Reese's. And my favorite chant the whole game, Reese felt it was an improper call from the officials. I'll stand mute upon my thoughts, but they started chanting Lions Cowboys, and I thought that was pretty clever. But for USA, led by Dominic Guardian with 17 points, 3 for 3 from the free throw line, Aaron Sines held to only 9 points, and he was 5 for 6 from the free throw line, only 2 field goals in that game, but he shot 86% from the free throw line, something you like to see, especially from your home court. And both teams end up with 16 turnovers, 7 in the first half for Reese, and for USA with only 5, but the plague hit both teams, Reese with 9 and USA with 11 in that second half. And USA now at 6-1 on the season. Their only loss to Reese, and Reese is at 6-4, both at 2-1 in the Greater Thumb West.
Very surprised to see Mr. Sines held to just 9 points. It seems like Reese said, challenge anybody else on USA, you're going to beat us, but Sines is not going to beat us. And they did a very good job to keep him to 9. He has been lighting up the nets all year, very consistent in the 20s, held way below his average. Nice to see Dominic Guardian step up in his absence there with 17. But only one player in double figures for USA, and that's just not going to cut it against a team like Reese.
Good point. But, you know, a kid like Sines, he's going to go ahead and use this as a motivator, I think. And the rest of the season, just watch out. What really stands out to me with these individual stats is look at how many people are contributing to the cause in both teams, Reese and USA. They're getting
USA
a lot of...
Seven,
A lot of good bench play out of folks. If you want to talk about consistencies, you know, every coach wants their team to be consistent. Coach Gainforth is no different in everything. USA just hit a bump. That's all it is. You know, they're going to be okay next week, and I'm sure they're looking forward to a real huge game coming up. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But take a look at Reese. They won a game last week. They lost a game. Then they won a game, lost a game. Then they won a game. That's what's going to happen in this type of league that these kids are in. It's a tough league. You got to be out at your best when your best is needed on any given night.
And let's not forget how really young USA is. This is a JV team for the most part with four sophomores and two freshmen out there.
And one senior.
Yeah, at any given moment. So it's a very young team that's learning to play at the varsity level, kind of on the fly. Thankfully, they have two of the most experienced coaches with Coach Gainforth and Coach Bone kind of leading them along.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year.
But they're going to go through stretches like this where they're going to look young and inexperienced. But I think as the season progresses, as we gear up towards districts and the end of the season, things will come together for USA, and they're going to be awfully tough.
One thing I kept thinking back to as I drove home from USA in that game Friday is, the week before, as Mark Gainforth sat with us after beating Lakers, he said, a good team is always going to find a way to stop your best player. It's the other players that step up to the plate and take over for that. And that's what we saw in Dominic Guardian. This is really the first game that he's had to step up to that plate and fill the void of Aaron Sines being shut down. And I think he did a great job of doing that.
I second that motion. Dominic Guardian, he's been kind of getting the rust off a little bit during this season. And then all of a sudden, his best was needed at moment's notice, and he responded. That's a super job that he did, and my hat's off to him.
Reese has the 30th here coming up is at Bay City All Saints on the 4th, home against Cass City. USA, though, this week, I did not update that schedule.
USA does have Bad Axe on Friday. Oh,
yes.
Actually, I have USA's schedule in my head, and here it is. Monday, at home against Saginaw MLS. Wednesday, in a game I'm sure one of you guys will be at Hover Beach.
I'll be at that one, yeah.
And Friday, at Bad Axe. So there's your schedule for USA, and that's right off the top of my head.
There you go. USA at Hover Beach on Wednesday, and then Friday, if I can find it, USA at Bad Axe on Friday. Should be a good one indeed. I'll be there. I've actually been sanctioned to announce the game. PA announced the game for Harbor Beach. I'll try and stay as neutral as possible in that one. Let's take a look now. John Mooney, you actually went to a game on Friday. Lakers at Bad Axe. Take us through that one.
Well, that's a wild one. Why not? It's in the West, right? You expect the two teams to always get together. I think it's a bigger game for Bad Axe, traditionally. That's quote-unquote, their rival. I kind of wonder if Lakers reciprocates because they have a lot of rivals around. You have USA, you have Harbor Beach that has developed nice rivalries between the Lakers. But Bad Axe has always seemed like they were an irritant, to the Lakers. Well, the irritant came in, but I'll tell you what, I'm not sure they were quite ready. Remember, the most important parts of the game is the first 3 minutes of the game. First 3 minutes of the second half, and the last 3 minutes. Well, two out of the three were employed. Lakers came out like you wouldn't believe. It was like a buzzsaw. They had red dots for eyes, and they were making the Hatchets pay. But the Hatchets, showing poise, they went ahead and weathered the storm in this first 3 minutes, and they came out after the first quarter. The score was Bad Axe 18, Lakers 13. So they had a 5-point lead. As it turns out, the first half, halftime score 28-21. Lakers are still within distance. And then all of a sudden, the second half, that's when the roof caved in. I mean, it was uncanny how it happened. But Bad Axe just went on a tear. And one of the characters of the play, so to speak, is going to be. I'm looking for his name right now, and there he is. How could I miss him? Derek Geiger. He threw in three daggers right off the bat. And what I mean by daggers is three-point shots. And it just took the wind right out of...
And let me guess, left wing?
Yes, on the left wing. But then, he diversified.
Oh.
He went to the right also, and he hit one there too.
It's equivalent. It's good geometric.
And he even found his way to the foul line and went 2 for 2. So, you know, that was really something. And while he was doing that, we haven't mentioned Tommy Morneau too much, okay?
Who? Well, never heard of him.
Never heard of him, right. But one thing I learned about Tommy Morneau is that he is such a consummate basketball player that he can go ahead and wait for the game to come to him. They were playing, the Lakers, were playing a box and one to start the game off. And he really wasn't scoring or anything, but that really did not bother Tommy Morneau. He allowed the game to just kind of unfold a little bit, and he found ways to go ahead and score when the scoring presented itself or the assists presented itself. He played to what the defense was going to give him. But in the second half, that's when the fun really began. It almost seemed like Bad Axe was in the Lakers huddle because they knew exactly where the pass was going to go, and they were the ones to go ahead and catch it and go down there for layups. I mean, it was almost too funny. I was waiting for Coach Majewski to call timeout and say, wait a minute, guys, we have the white shirts, and tonight we're going to be passing to the white shirts. It was just that bad in that third quarter. But good for the Hatchets, and they anticipated very well, and they turned a close game into a laugher.
Well, it certainly is. I heard the halftime score, and it was fairly close. He texted me when I was at the Reese game, and didn't hear the final. It just dropped the hammer in that second half.
Final score, 67-34. The Hatchets prevailed. They are for real, my friends.
And traveling further east and a little bit south down M-19, Ubley and Harbor Reach faced off in what is typically a classic rivalry game, the Backyard Brawl, we like to call it, as it seems like everyone's related in that gym. And Harbor Reach was stunned early on. Ubley, I believe, came out to like a 12-1 lead in that first quarter. But Harbor Reach slowly but surely came back. They're trailing by 4 at halftime, 28-24. And Ubley was daggers from Kurt Kabosky. He ended up with 23 points off of 4 field goals and 5 threes. He had all the threes for Ubley. And in fact, only Ubley had 3 scores in the entire night. Kurt Kabosky with 23, Javeski with 14, and Mirop with 9. But Harbor Reach had a few more points altogether. His final score was 54-46 over the Ubley Bearcats, led by Josh Shelke with 24 points, 6 field goals, and 1 3 from 9-for-12 from the free throw line. Dalton Oakey, 12 points, 4 field goals, and 4-for-6 from the free throw line. And Cody Seaman, 8 points for 3 field goals and 2-for-2 from the free throw line to get Harbor Reach at 3-0 in league play and 7-3 on a 4-game win streak for the Pirates.
This was a game that I was at. Ubley was actually leading at one point in the second quarter, 21-10. So to only be down, for Harbor Beach only be down 4 by halftime, I thought they showed a lot of poise. Ubley played very good for about a quarter and a half, played very good, had Harbor Beach very, very frustrated, threw a number of looks at them, a lot of unforced turnovers. Coach Ruble had to burn a couple timeouts, which you guys know that he doesn't like to do. He had to settle his team down once in the first quarter, once in the second quarter. They responded very well out of that second timeout in the second quarter and then kind of chipped away. A lot of credit to Ubley. Josh Shelke's game this year has been a lot of slashing to the basket, creating contact, at least in the first half. I know Josh ended up with 24 points, but in the first half, that lane was closed, and they were forcing them to do something else. Number of open threes for Harbor Beach just did not go down. They left Brady Kirsch unguarded, and he couldn't hit one. That's going to be key for the Pirates going on from this point forward with Austin Seltz dinged up, and we don't know when he's going to be back. If Brady Kirsch has those open threes, he's going to have to knock those down to keep defenses honest. But, very good poise from Harbor Beach. They showed experience. They were frustrated. But when I left at halftime, I had to get back and do my duties. Harbor Beach was only down 4. I said, Harbor Beach will win this game. Just – you had that feeling that they had turned the tide, got momentum, weathered the storm, and it was a good gutty win for them, not really playing their sharpest game. And, coming off that game against Brown City, they showed, they looked like they were still stunned going in the first two quarters against Ubley, but did a nice job bouncing back, and they're going to need to keep that going. They got another big week ahead of them.
I think Josh Shulke has taken a lot of steps towards becoming a more complete ball player. First thing is that I know he can drive, but he is now beginning to finish those drives a lot better than he was during the first part of the year. His foul shooting has really markedly improved, and now he's becoming a three-point threat as well. Not only that, the young man plays defense, and it seems like that's, you know, we don't talk about defense enough, but you know, Josh Schulke, he is a complete ball player, and he's doing a nice job.
As far as ugly, one name I was surprised to see not on any box score or anything was Jeffrey Wright. Blank in scoring, but I presume he was at some sort of position on defense and potentially closing down that lane for Josh Schulke.
I think he was. And hey, when you got Kurt Kabatsky out there bombing away threes,
yeah, you don't need to.
He was unbelievable in that first half. If he touched the ball, it was going in. He found that rare zone that players get into. And our beach players knew it. If they left him just open just for a split second, it was going in. And Mirop, I thought, played a real nice game with 9 points. He had knocked down a couple of nice mid-range jumpers for Ubley. The Bearcats have the pieces there. And it's just going to be up to Coach Pikla to put those pieces together, figure out how they work together. They have the potential to beat anybody in the East. They just got to figure it out.
Now, we've talked a lot about having three people in double figures.
Uh-huh.
Ubley's just going to need more people scoring than just the three that scored on Friday night.
And I'll be the first to say anything can happen in that Ubley gym. I've seen a lot of magic come from that Bearcat squad. I believe it was my senior year still playing there. Ubley came out, and I believe it was 30-2 in the first quarter. Ubley just could not miss. And at that point, you just couldn't get over that hump. I still have a lot of faith in this Ubley squad coming in, and with about a month and a half before districts.
You know, I think I remember that game, Clark.
Yeah,
don't miss many Ubley Harbor Beach games. They are fun games to watch.
Two people to watch for Harbor Beach. I'm seeing Cody Seaman starting to pick it up a little bit, and mm-hmm. that's good news. That means he's coming off his injury. And Dalton Oakey, again, we're going to mention him because, after all, he's staying on the floor in the first half, and I think that's great.
What concerns me about the Pirates is we are talking about a team that is very, very short on players.
It looks like Our Lady of Lake Huron squad.
Yes, with Austin Seltz dinged up, that bench is very short, and we're going to see if teams really try to take advantage of
What's
that.
What's the line in Hoosiers? It's going to be a lonely bench this year.
7:50 on Sports Radio 102.1. You're listening to The Baseline. It's time for a quick break, as this segment was presented by Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine. Whether you're Joe Schmo off the street or Tommy Morneau, make Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine your place to be when you become under the weather. I'd like you to meet Joe.
Hello.
What's your last name? Schmo. Where did you come from? Off the street. So you're Joe Schmo off the street, of course. You seem to be getting around a lot better these days, though. Oh, I know. You went to Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine, didn't you? Well, it makes sense. Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine can get any type of person back on their feet, whether it's an athlete or Joe Schmo off the street. Call Active Physical Therapy and Sports Medicine today at 269-2700. They're located in downtown Bad Axe with convenient hours just off the street. That's 269-2700.
You feel petrified. You're struggling with your mortgage payments, not knowing what to do. You do nothing. But if you do something, you're far more likely to get the most positive outcome. Making Home Affordable is a free government program. Call 888-995-HOPE to talk one-on-one with a housing expert about your options. Call 888-995-HOPE or visit makinghomeaffordable.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Treasury, HUD, and the Ad Council.
Don't give up the baseline on Sports Radio 102.1 with Clark Ramsey, John Mooney, and Paul P. Adams. And we have an apology to make and a correction to make here. It was Jeffrey Wright scoring 14 points we did not go scoreless. I apparently can't read a box score sideways when I get through an email. So my apologies to that. Jeff Wright did not go scoreless for the Ubley Bearcats, and not Jerpesky like I had written down. 752 on Sports Radio 102.1. And like a good broadcaster does, he overhypes everything in the far, far future. And I see yes. Okay, thank you very much there. And let's take a look at the Bad Axe, district that's going on March 9th through the 13th. And it's going to be fairly interesting. Hosted by Bad Axe. Bad Axe and Cass City get byes in the first round, so it matches up USA and Ubley. And Harbor Beach and Lakers, take it away.
I'll give you one number, 1969. Do you know what the significance of that is?
We went to the
moon.
That
is the last
Apollo 11
district.
Exactly.
That a certain team has won, and I'm not even sure who was on that team, by the way.
That's the last district championship the Bad Axe Hatches have won. I believe that's the only district championship the Bad Axe Hatches have won in boys basketball. And I'm telling you, they have a very, very good shot this year. Tough draw. They're going to, in all likelihood, face Harbor Beach. We can talk about this this draw, but I think you have the two prohibitive favorites, USA and Harbor Beach, on opposite sides. So we got that right in this random district draw, which thankfully we got right. Well, didn't load up all three of the favorite teams on one side. But
that first opening game, Paul, I swear, though, that's going to be a toughie. You got Bad Axe against Bye. Now,
I have not seen Bye play a game yet.
Yeah, Cassie seemed to draw another one, too, over there. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, not to make light of it, Bad Axe has a legitimate shot at this in taking the first night off. There's a two-edged sword on that. Usually you like to go ahead and have that first game and play it. Get it under your belt, get everyone and all the jitters and everything out of it and everything. And to wait and prolong it, I think some coaches would rather go ahead and play the first night and avoid the bye. But
the first game out of the gates, before we get to that, is USA versus Ubley. You would think the Patriots should win that game. And then your nightcap is Harbor Beach and Lakers. Again, I would think Harbor Beach should win that game. And so USA Cass City will be your first semifinal on Wednesday, potentially. For me, the main event is going to be that second semifinal on Wednesday. That potential Bad Axe versus Harbor Beach game, where if you guys remember just a few weeks ago, Bad Axe kind of gave one away over here in Harbor Beach, a game that they could have came out with the win, but I think has really steadily improved since. And
for both squads have improved,
exactly.
I think.
Yeah, and I think the Hatches want another crack at the Pirates.
Redemption, that's a huge word, and it's very powerful too. And the Hatches would love to redeem themselves for that loss here on the Pirate floor. But, that's getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. I take a look at the people that we're discounting right now, and the first one is Ubley, and the second one is Lakers. Lakers against Harbor Beach, Ubley against USA. Ubley, they can be awful dangerous, especially a team that has nothing to lose. And when you can just play fancy free, and they can really make life difficult on you. I think that is probably a better matchup for USA than Harbor Beach Lakers. Lakers has the tools, I think. They have an inside, they have an outside, and if it does get put together by then, that could be a very formidable game for Harbor Beach.
Well, it'll be interesting. I mean, the first game, of course, on Monday, the 9th of March at 6 p.m., and then the post game, as soon as that happens, roughly about 7:30, Harbor Beach and Lakers would face off in Bad Axe. The beauty of all this, aside from Bad Axe, I mean, it's an extremely neutral court. Neither any team except Bad Axe, and sometimes Ivan Bad Axe, plays well in that gym. And the student sections, these fans are pushed further back. It's a big gym. We have a great seat right at center court, and it takes a little bit of to get used to that gym.
You know, how long has that gym been there? 10 years, maybe.
More than that, because I've been at the Tribune for 15 years, and I think I've only covered 1 year at the old gym. So we're looking at almost 14, 15 years that
that
gym's
been
in existence.
Okay, now my point is that it really doesn't seem to have any history whatsoever, does it?
No, it doesn't, and this is a perfect opportunity to make history. The history that gym has for boys basketball is some of the districts that it's hosted. And the teams not named the Hatchets that have made history on there. And there have been some great district tournaments there. As far as this one goes, I think when you look at the draw, I'm very pleased with the way this draw shaped out for all the teams. I really think that if you were going to seed a tournament, might have done a couple things differently. But I think as far as a random draw, you could not really have asked for a much better draw than what we're seeing in this tournament. There's going to be a really good matchups and a potential for an upset or two.
I'm looking at it through the individual eyes of the teams, and I'm thinking that every one of them are probably going to say, this is really good draw.
Well, I would say each team has about a 1-in-6 chance.
Vegas is giving the odds.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a look at now the upcoming schedule. Enough with all this hype. I mean, it's not like the Super Bowl where we have 2 weeks to talk about everything. We'll just talk about it for 7 weeks instead. But this week in high school basketball, we start out with Monday action. USA is hosting Saginaw MLS. That should be an interesting game. On Tuesday, Ubley is at Deckerville, the WLAW Sports Game of the Week. Ubley at Deckerville. You can hear that on sports radio roughly at 7 p.m. Sports Radio 102.1 with Clark Ramsey and John Mooney on Tuesday. Ubley at Deckerville. Memphis is at Mayville. On to Wednesday action. Brown City at Bad Axe. Marlette at Peck. K-Pack at Lakers. And USA at Harbor Beach. That's really the big game going on Wednesday. Thursday action, we're off. And then Friday, Harbor Beach at Lakers. Ubley at Marlette. Sandusky at Memphis. USA at Bad Axe. That should be a barn burner. Vassar at Cass City. Reese at Bay City All Saints. Caseville at Peck. Kingston at Deckerville. Mayville at Carson LaPorte Sanilac, and on Saturday action, the weekend special, Cross Lex at Memphis. A big, big week coming up for us.
Big week, another just chock full of league implications and I think it's capped off by that USA at Bad Axe game, which has become, I think, one of the most intriguing games of the week. This week we have been so conditioned with Bad Axe to just not believe in the Hatchets, and they're turning it around. We saw it in football. Now we're seeing it in basketball. Everybody's coming around, and you have to take the Hatchets seriously. They have a chance to beat USA, and it's something they have not done in a long, long time.
Can't wait. I've got mine already circled.
It should be fun, especially with coverage on Tuesday, Ubley at Deckerville, and some great games going on throughout the week. Keep it tuned to Sports Radio 102.1 or check out us on Twitter for all the updated information, as well as our Facebook page. They both are WLEW Sports, and you'll find the latest. Back in the studio, pushing all the buttons, that's Eddie Fury from Thumb Tailgaters Sports. Here in studio from the Clark Ramsey Manor, Paul P. Adams.
Hey now.
And Paul P. Adams from the Here and Daily Tribune, John Mooney in-game analysis, and I'm Clark Ramsey. We'll see you Tuesday, Ubley at Deckerville, the WLEW Sports Game of the Week. Whatever you do, don't give up the baseline.